pre-programmed and has the message in it already.
I appreciate that, brother. I can lip sync it. All right. 1 John chapter 5. If you turn your Bibles there. 1 John chapter 5, and we bring you greetings from from Faith Baptist Church in Versailles, Kentucky. As I said the other day, I'm just getting used to saying that. And I'm a little road weary. We got back from Michigan yesterday evening, and in time to teach our doctrinal class that we started on Thursday nights. Had a good turnout for that. We had a good time in Michigan, the conference with Brother Dan Gordon, his pastor at the church there at Mount Morris, Michigan, Home Baptist Church, and rode all the way to Michigan. In our van had Clarence Grigsby and Thelma in there with me. Now, you can only take Clarence in just short little spurts. When you got to ride almost to Canada with Clarence Grigsby, that's pretty bad. And Brother Willie Laswell, you know Brother Willie Laswell, y'all know Willie, he and his wife rode up with us. Pray for him. He resigned his church Sunday, retiring, and so that church would be looking for a pastor. But and then a young preacher who surrendered to preach back in September from the church at Brother Larry Ellis Pastors down in Livermore, Kentucky, he rode up with us. So we had a gang. And by the time we got up there, me and Willie and Clarence had that young preacher just tore all to pieces. We messed all his theology up. I don't know. We just picked on him. It is good to be with you. We love this church. It's great to see Brother Patton. I'm not sure I'm coming back because somebody saw me a while ago and said, "Boy, you're getting a little heavy, ain't you?" And Bob, the first thing he said unto me was, "Looked like you lost more of your hair." You know, that's just a nice way of saying you're getting bald and you're getting fat. And I get tired of hearing that. You know. And I told the folks the other day, me and Belinda, we had our birthdays the other day, and the church presented us with a year membership at a fitness center. And told me to shape up or ship out. That's what they said when they handed it to me. So, and I told them I thought round was a shake, but that's all right. They said, I guess we need to lose some weight. All right, 1 John chapter 5. I know you had a good week. I'll try not to mess it up last night. Very familiar text. Verse 10, John says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Now let me go ahead and put my scripture reading right there. Very familiar text to all of us, I'm sure, this evening. But beloved, in my mind, in my heart, I think these four verses present one of the most blessed and comforting truths you'll find in the Word of God. And it's one that's been attacked a whole lot, you understand, but it is one of the most blessed and comforting truths. And that is the absolute assurance we have as God's people. Now, John states emphatically in this 13th verse, he said, "Listen, this is the reason that I have written this epistle unto you. That you may know," right, "that you have eternal life." Now, I thought about this as I was studying for this message. Several times in this epistle, John says that same thing. Over and over again, John uses these words. He said, "Listen, I have written unto you this epistle for this reason." And he does that several times. It's one of the unique features of the book of 1 John. For example, you go back in the first chapter, he says, "These things that I have written unto you, that your joy might be full." Now, I thought about that. That's a good reason to write this book, isn't it? John says, "Listen, I have written this epistle unto you that you might have full joy as God's people." Listen to me, folks. The way some of you act sometimes. And the way some of you look like you're miserable. I don't think I want what you've got. You know, you ought to have, as God's people, we ought to be the most joyful people on the face of this earth. It ought to be the kind of joy that situations do not affect, circumstances do not affect. John says, I've written this epistle unto you that you might have full joy. You know, your joy might be full. That's a good reason to write. And I think as we get into John's writings, as we take them into our head, into our heart, man, it should produce fullness of joy. In another place in chapter 2, he says, my little children, these things that are written unto you that you sin not. Now, don't you think that's a pretty good reason to write this epistle? John says, the whole reason that I'm writing this book unto you is that you may not sin. Listen, sin is contrary to God. Sin ought to be contrary to the child of God. And John said, I'm writing this epistle unto you that you sin not. Right? That's a good reason to write. Now that certainly does not mean that we reach sinless perfection in this body. I understand that. But the desire of our heart is that we do not sin. Thank God in that same verse, John said, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. But he said, listen, I'm writing this to you that you sin not. You go into another place, he says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. That's a good reason to write this epistle, isn't it? He said, listen, I want you to know, all your sins have been forgiven you. God no longer holds your sins against you, if you will. I write this epistle unto you because your sins are forgiven you. What does the song say? My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole. He said, man, it's nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. That's a good reason to write this epistle. And it goes like this throughout the book of 1 John. He says, later on, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but I've written unto you because you know the truth. You know. John says, the reason I'm writing this epistle on you to start with is because you know the truth. I'm writing to those that the Spirit of God has revealed the truth of the Word of God in their heart. I'm not writing to those who don't know the truth. I'm writing to you because you know it, you see. He goes on, he says, later on, these things are written unto you concerning them that seduce you. That's a good reason to write. John said, listen, I want you to be aware. I want you to know those that would seduce you. Listen, they are always there. They're ever present. But I'm writing this epistle unto you concerning those that would seduce you. That is a good reason to write. You get the picture. It goes like one of the unique features of the book of 1 John is that several times John says, listen, this is the reason that I'm writing this epistle unto you. Well, here in the last part of this book, John says, now, let me give you another good reason I'm writing this epistle. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, that you have eternal life. Listen to me, folks, that is a good reason to write, don't you think? John said, listen, I don't want you to think you have eternal life. I don't want you to hope you have eternal life. I want you to know that you have eternal life. Beloved, one of the great blessings we have as God's people, that we don't need doubt, we don't need the hope, we can know. And why on earth would anybody fight against a doctrine like that, but they're out there? I told this story the other day to our church. I was preaching one time, and I had a preaching revival meeting or special services, and they had visitors come in at night. Now, I can look at faces many times, and I can tell whether you're buying what I'm trying to sell. And there was a fellow walked in one night into the services, and I could tell, man, he was not buying any of it, you know. And he was not there shaking. Now, he was smiling, you know, he was having a good time, but he was shaking his head all the way through the service. I could tell he wasn't buying any of it. And after service, they were having fellowship. By the way, you'll meet people like that. These preachers can tell you. There are some people that are miserable themselves, and they get some kind of pure joy out of making everybody else miserable. You know, that's the way they are. And this fellow was having a good time. He didn't like anything I was saying. But after service, during the fellowship time, he came up to me, and sure enough, he began to rip into me a little bit about what I talked a lot about our hope we have, the assurance that we have, the confidence we have as God's people. He wasn't buying any of it. Now, I did get out of him that he fancied himself a Reformed Baptist, and what's even worse, he fancied himself a theologian. And I admitted to him, I said, I'm not a scholar. I never claimed to be a scholar, you know. But he began to talk to me a little bit. He said, you know, those kind of people that say, well, yeah, we believe in election, but you never know who is elect and who is not. And I said, are you saved? He said, I hope so. And that's the way they are. They believe that God has elected some, but man, God will do it. At the resurrection, He will sort out and let us know who it is. You know what I end up telling? Listen, I feel sorry for you. And I did feel sorry for you. When you hate to live your life like that, listen to me, folks. You can know that you have eternal life. Yeah, you have to hope so. You can know you have eternal life. Now, here's the thing. John writes to us for that reason. Now, in John's Gospel, John writes that we might know how to be saved, right? In John's epistle, he writes that we might be sure that we are saved. That's the difference. In John's Gospel, he writes what Christ did on this earth as He laid down His life for His sheep. And He tells us how to be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, it's in there, Baptist people, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. John writes to us in his gospel that we might know how to be saved, but the difference is in John's epistle, he writes that we might sure. He doesn't write about what Christ is doing on earth, he writes about what Christ is doing in heaven, that we might be sure that we are saved. Listen, we can know. John said, I don't want you to hope so. I don't want you to even just think so. I want you to know so. I want you to know that you have eternal life. Listen, we can sing, as Fanny Crosby, that the blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. You can know. I can't tell you how many people in our church, truthfully, even people in the last few months, that tell me they struggle with this thing of doubt. Many times in their life. You know what I tell them? For many times, that's not always the case, but I know with these people it was so, that listen, if you lay out of church too much, you will weaken your faith and you will strengthen your doubt. You say, you can know that you have eternal life. So that's what I'm thinking about tonight. Let me point out two or three things in these four verses about what John has to say about eternal life. In the first place, notice that John gives us the source of life. And listen, this is critical in understanding John's writing. In the opening part of this book, John starts out by pointing us to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? He ends up the same way. That's the only way you're going to be saved. That's the only way you're going to be sure that you're saved. Right? In the opening part of this book, John presents him as the Word of Life. I love that title. He is the Word of Life. But in the last chapter of this book, he presents him as the source of life. You see? And brother, this is what you've got to understand. Eternal life, it is not in a program. Eternal life is not in a procedure. You don't come down the aisle to get saved. You don't come to the altar and pray for all those other things that the Arminians would have us to do. Eternal life is not in a procedure. It's not in a program. It's in a person. Jesus Christ is the source of life. And here's what John says in verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. Now, what is what it says? And that life is in the Son. Isn't that great? John tells us that Jesus Christ is the source of life. I point you to Christ, you see. Now, let me give you a couple of things under this heading. In the first place, John tells us very clearly what is required in salvation. This is important. And what I mean by that is that he talks about, for example, in verse 10 of believing on the Son of God. In verse 13, he speaks of believing on the name of the Son of God. Listen, don't make any mistake about what is required in salvation. And don't add to it. And don't take away from it. You must believe on the Son of God. You must believe on the name of the Son of God. Right? You must not be mistaken about what is required in salvation. Hey, I mentioned this, I think, the other day when I was at Livingstone, when the old Philippian jailer cried out, said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I wonder how many of us Baptist preachers would try to give him a 15-minute dissertation on Baptist polity and Baptist doctrine. Huh? That's what we've done. We've so mixed it up. And I wonder, listen, Paul didn't take 15 minutes in trying to explain to him how to be saved. When he says, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Right? You don't need to add anything to it. That's exactly what is required in salvation. For God so loved the world, as I quoted earlier, that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Listen to me. If you're here tonight and you want to know how to be saved, if the Holy Spirit of God has put that burden on you, all I can tell you is very simple. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, you know what? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth on the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Listen, that's what's required in salvation. I like that. Listen, don't mess it up. And don't add anything to it. He also tells us not only required in salvation, but he tells us what is received in salvation. Here's what he said. He said, "He," in verse 12, "hath the Son, hath life." Isn't that great? Beloved, we receive life. You go into John's Gospel. When he says, "In him was life," right? "And that life was the light of men." You receive life. You go into verse 11 again. "This is the record that God has given us, eternal life, and that life is in his Son." It goes like that. The Bible says, in John's Gospel again, Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," right? "But have everlasting life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God has not life." It goes like that throughout the Word of God. Jesus said in John's Gospel again, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." By the way, you have it. You don't have to wait for it. Right? "He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. He that hath not the Son shall not see life." Right? That's what the Scripture teaches us. And it goes like that. In John's Gospel, in the first chapter, "But as many as received him, to them he gave you power to become" what? "The sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born." I wish the Armenian would get that right. Two. "Which were born, not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." Hey folks, if you receive, if you believe, am I being simple enough for you? You will become. You don't need to add anything to that. What I'm saying, Paul, John tells us that he is the source of life. That's number one. Number two, he not only speaks of the source of life, he speaks of the security of life. And this is what I wanted to get to the whole time. Because listen, John talks about, throughout this epistle, of a knowledge. Doesn't he? In fact, as most of you know, if you taught this book 39 different times, John speaks of us knowing something. Now, he tells us many great things we can know. But listen to me. The greatest thing you can know is to know you're saved. The greatest thing you can know is to know that you're saved. And again, in verse 13, he says, listen, this is the reason I'm writing this to you. That this, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Now, listen, a couple things under this heading also. Beloved, the Bible gives us a salvation that is sure. Now, the word know, K-N-O-W, it means exactly what it sounds like. In the Greek, it carries a couple ideas. It means to be aware and to be sure. That's the only kind of salvation I know about. Now, certainly, if you're saved, you're aware of it. One preacher, I think at Livingstone, I bet James, every day said, you know, as great and as glorious as God is, He cannot possibly live in your heart and you not be aware of it. You're going to be aware of it. Right? It means to be aware and to be sure that you're saved. Now, I've talked to people, and some of you fellows may have talked to them before also, but I've talked to people before, and you ask them, what day were they saved on? How many, any other day I say, well, I'm not real sure. Let me tell you something. I knew the day I was saved. I knew the day that God gave me life. I can tell you today that God took somebody who had no interest in the things of God, and then all of a sudden I had a desire for the things of God. By the way, that wasn't me, that was God. Whereas I loathed the things of God, all of a sudden I loved them. I can tell you today that that happened to me. Right? And the reason I know that is because of what God has said. I know when I was saved. By the way, salvation is not based on my feelings. I don't know about you fellas. I haven't got this thing licked yet in my life. Sometimes I don't feel saved. Now, maybe I'm the only one here that feels like that. Sometimes, folks, I feel way off from God. You know. And thank God, my salvation is not based on how I feel. It is based on the power and on the promises of God. I can be sure. Right? Now, listen, you heard the story about this fellow who got lost one time, and he saw this little boy walking on the side of the road barefoot, and he pulled up next to him, and he said, son, he said, can you tell me where so-and-so place is? You know where so-and-so place is? The little boy said, I don't know. And a man said, well, sir, can you tell me how to get to Route 20? How do you get on to Route 20? The little boy said, I don't know. And the man said, well, what's the name of this road? I don't know. Says, where does it go to? I don't know. He said, boy, you don't know a lot, do you? He said, at least I know I'm not lost. Yeah. Hey, listen, I may not know a lot. I don't know the why of salvation in my life. I know the theological answer. You know, it's according to the good pleasure of His will. But I can't help but think in my humanity, why on earth would He save me? I can understand Him saving Brother Bob and Brother Matt, you know, and I can even understand Him saving Brother Tom. I don't know why He saved me. I can't tell you the why of salvation. I don't know how. I give the theological answer, you know, but how to fathom the new birth, I don't know how. It is a supernatural thing. I don't know why. I don't know how. I may not know a lot of things, but listen, I know I'm not lost. I know salvation is sure. And the second thing I was saying is also secure. Listen to me. The Bible only talks about one kind. It is called eternal life. Right? Eternal means perpetual. That which does not end. I wish the Armenian... Listen, I don't know how somebody can read the same Bible. I don't mean to be mean, but I don't know how you can read the same Bible and come up with any other kind of life. I give unto you eternal life, and you shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck you out of my hand. And my Father which gave you to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck you out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. If that was all there is, that'd be enough. All right? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. I don't know of any other kind of life. There's a song, I had to write the words down to it because I couldn't remember it. But I like this song. It says, my name from the palms of his hands eternity cannot erase. Impressed on his heart, it remains in marks of incredible grace. Man, I like that. He says, I know that safe with him remains protected by his power, what I've committed to his hands till that decisive hour. Hey, fellas, that's security. Somebody says, you mean you believe once in grace and always in grace? You betcha. I'm not going to apologize for it. I know that eternal security is not accepted by all people. And listen to me, I don't want to make you feel comfortable in your sin either. It's not a license for you to sin. It's not a license for you to live like the devil and say, I'm going to glory. If you're like that, you don't know what I'm talking about. It is a truth that's hard for somebody to understand, but it is the truth. And so it gives us the surety of life, the security of life, lastly, the signs of eternal life. Now, this is the clincher to me. This settles it. Because here's what John does. John gives us two signs in these verses. Now there's more, I'm sure. But in these four verses, he gives us two signs that we have eternal life. He gives us the record, and he gives us a witness. By the way, both of us speak of evidence. That's why I don't want you comfortable in your sin, folks. There's going to be, listen, if you've been saved, there's going to be evidence of it in your life. John speaks first of the witness that we have in our heart. He says this in verse 10 again. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. It is the witness we have in our hearts that we are the children of God. It is the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us that testifies that I am a child of God. You got to have that in your life. I know that as I fall and I get out of fellowship, that witness gets suppressed sometimes in my heart, you know. I know that. But beloved, there is a witness in my heart that I am a child of God. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. In fact, he says, listen, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That word witness there, you know what it means? It means to jointly testify, give evidence. That it jointly testifies in my life that I am a child of God. Do you have that witness in your heart? He speaks not of the witness in our heart, but I like this, he speaks of the word that we have in our hands. Because he speaks of a record. And then he speaks of that which is written. You understand that's the same thing. He said, I've written these things that you may know. By the way, that's why my salvation I know is not based on my experience. It's not based on how I feel. Because my experiences change, my feelings change also. My salvation is not based on any of those things. It is based on the power and on the promises of God. I've heard people come up to serious things when they start talking about their testimony. I told this to a church Sunday. There was one fellow one time who was convinced he was called to preach because he was out plowing with his old mule Betsy one day, and the clouds formed the letters PC When he finished his first sermon, one old man came to him and said, "I believe you're mistaken. That PC, that fellow said it meant preach Christ." That fellow said, "No, it didn't mean preach Christ. It meant plow corn." Yeah. How many times do you have people talk? I've heard it like this. I come to the altar and I pray through. That was their evidence that they were saved. Or they say that a bolt of lightning, it felt like a bolt of lightning came through my body, ran through my whole body. If that happened to you, you'd see a doctor. You know. Or they say that, I don't know, a giant angel stood at the foot of my bed. If you're seeing that, see a psychiatrist. That ain't what saves you, folks. And that's not the testimony. The testimony is the witness that I have in my heart, the word that I have in my hand. My salvation is based on that. Nothing else. So John says, "Listen, I've written these things unto you that you may know you have eternal life." Folks, do you know it? I don't want you to hope you have it. I don't want you to think you have it. I certainly don't want you to doubt you have it. I want you to know that you have eternal life. If you don't know that, I'll tell you what you do. Right now, you repent, you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the best thing I can tell you. Don't rely on your experience. You rely on what God has said. Right? "These things that are written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe." Isn't it interesting he put that in there twice? "And that you may believe in the name of the Son of God." Do you know? I hope. Listen, I have no doubt in a congregation this size, we got people here that are lost. And I can tell you, you know, in meetings like this, in years gone by, people used to get saved. What's happened? I tell you how to be saved. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. That's what the Bible. Brother John, I'll quit. You come.
I hope tonight that you know, that you know, that you know. See, they turned me off real quick.